Let's give them some praise this morning. You may be seated. Thank you for doing that. Let's give them some praise this morning. Hallelujah. We're about to have a good time in the Lord this morning.
Amen.
So, if you would, let's turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. If you don't have that, we're going to be starting with the very first verse in Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 1. You know, before we get to the title of the message and all that other kind of good stuff, I was really thinking about my life. And I was thinking, and I was looking back, and I was thinking back to work. So back in 2006, I started off as a mortgage banker, and I was on the phone selling mortgages, and I worked for Quicken Loans. And, you know, something happened. You know, I was going to work every day, and things were going good, and then sometimes bad, and it was all right, you know. And something unexpected happened in 2009. So I was a team captain then. I knew when I started, I wanted to be a director of mortgage banking. I said, you know what, I want to be leading people doing this. And in 2009, something crazy happened. Dan Gilbert bought a security company. So I was there on the phone. I was, you know, doing mortgages, and I was like a mortgage guy. That's what I knew, and that's what, you know, when I started, I didn't know nothing about mortgages. And, you know, so I was on the phone, and then I got approached, and they said, hey, we got this new security team. We'd like you to lead it. And I'm like, security? No, man, I'm a mortgage guy. Like, you know what? Security. I don't know about no security systems, right? Where I'm from, you got your own security system. It's called you reaching the drawer. Yeah, you ain't doing none of that, you know? And so, you know, I was getting pressed about it. And they kept sending one big wig after the next. Like, you get him. Like, somebody gonna talk to him. We want him to do it. See, I was next in line to be a director of mortgage banking. And they wanted me to lead this new initiative. And, you know, at the time, I really just didn't know what to do. And I was just thinking about it. And finally, I said yes. See, after I said yes, they told me, oh, well, by the way, it's going to be about half of what you get paid now. You know? And I'm like, oh, really? But, you know, what made me say yes to it is because I thought about where I wanted to be long term, not where I was at the time. So the title of the message today, and it's really about making decisions based on where you're going, not where you're at. I wish I had somebody say amen with me this morning. I wish I had somebody that knew what it was like to make a decision based on where you're at instead of where you're going. See, back in 2009, I had to make a decision about where I was going instead of where I was at. See, I knew long term I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and this gave me all kind of opportunity to be able to do it. They're like, you're in charge of everything. Don't worry. We can do this. You can do that. And I had to think about where I was going instead of where I was at. See, the money short term made me say, I don't know about this. Half the pay. I mean, I didn't even want to do it before the money came in. And after the money's up, I have it. Like, woo. You know what? But I had to make decision based on where I was going instead of where I'm at. Amen?
Amen?
So let's jump into the Bible and talk about how this applies. This is Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting at the very first verse. And it says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. See, God gives us direction sometimes so big that they cause us to think about decisions incorrectly about our current situation. I can't imagine how Abraham was feeling at the time. See, if you go back in verse 27 to the last verse, his wife was barren. She couldn't have kids. And God's telling him, get thee out of that country, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a nation? That sounds so unreasonable. It just does. And think about if you, Abraham, how unreasonable that sounds. It's so crazy. See, guess what? It didn't say God came to him in a burning bush and appeared. And it didn't say lightning was going off and he says, my son, I appear to you. It wasn't this clear. It said God spoke to him. How many times has God spoke to you? You're like, man, that ain't God. That can't be. That can't be. This is something so unreasonable in the natural. Yeah. Like, there's no way you're telling me I'm going to be this great nation. I can't even have kids in my own house.
All right.
The path was unclear. Not only did he tell him something unreasonable, then the path was unclear. I don't know where you're going to go, but you're going somewhere. You got to leave your family behind. See, Abraham could be like us, not seeing what God sees. See, we look in the mirror and we don't see what we like and we think, well, I can't do this. Or we look at our current situation and we think, I can't do this because God is this. But God has predestinated each and every one of you to do something great. It's time for us to get up off the stool and start moving forward with him. Amen? See, it's time for us to take some action. Sometimes the promise of God is so big, it just seems unreasonable. But can you make a decision to move based on where you're going instead of where you're at? See, I don't care if you've been at your job 15 years and you make the same kind of money you've been making and you're used to a certain lifestyle and you want more for yourself and you don't see anything happening. God can move you into something unreasonable. But you got to make decisions based on where you're going instead of decisions based on where you're at. See, it's easy to look around. It's easy for Abraham to look around and say, I don't see it. It ain't in the cards for me, God. My wife can't have kids. I'm not going to be a great nation, so I'm not going to do anything. Because God didn't appear to him with some crazy miracle. He didn't part the Red Sea in front of him and all this. He didn't say, grab his hand and walk on some water and say, you see, I got you. He just said, God spoke to him. Right. And God speak to you, and you like, sure. Mm-hmm. So I know he speak to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right.
Because it seemed like something crazy. But God is here to lift us up and bless us.
Yes.
See, I don't know if you've ever heard of this company. Anybody ever heard of this company? Whoop.com. Anybody ever heard of them? I hadn't heard of them either. Whoop.com. Let me tell you about something unreasonable. These people decide to start a business. They started a business. Now think about somebody told you this. They started a business, and they said, we're going to sell one thing today on our website. You can only buy one thing, that's it. Come back tomorrow, and we'll see what we're selling next. I'll be like, what? Hold on, with all this Amazon and all this other stuff going on where you can get everything, you talk about you're going to sell one thing every day? That sounds like bankruptcy. That sounds like a going out of business sale. But see, sometimes something unreasonable is blessed. See, you look at your situation and somebody that told you that your idea ain't that good, or they done told you, you know what, you can't do this and you can't do that. You start to think it's unreasonable, but you don't let God in it. See, I've been like that before, and I'm like that today sometimes. Where I limit God sometimes, like, oh, God, that sounds crazy. Mm-mm. We just go, how about we take just baby steps, God? How about we just do a little something before we start going all crazy? You know, I back at work, this is how we are sometimes. I used to have one-on-ones with people, and I had a guy who says, man, I want to lose some weight. I said, okay, you want to lose some weight, so how about exercise? Man, I'm too big to be out here exercising. Man, I ain't going to be out here exercising. Man, I'm going to eat a little bit better, but maybe if I lose some weight, I'll exercise. Now, but that's like us. See, we want the situation to get better before we're willing to do anything for it. But see, we gotta be unreasonable with God sometimes. We gotta say, you know what, God, I trust you. I'm gonna do your thing. You know what? I'm gonna keep moving. I'm gonna make a decision based on where you tell me I'm going instead of based on where I'm at. Now I want you to think about if Abraham would start talking to people about this. If he just went around and said, you know what? God spoke to me and he said that he was gonna make me a great nation, and he was gonna bless me. And anybody that cursed me, he gonna curse them. People gonna be looking like, man, you Abraham, bro. Ain't nothing in this text prior special about Abraham. Right. It don't say, man, the called of God. He was a guy, he was some dude's son. That's how he was introduced. You son of so-and-so. I forgot his father's name, but yeah. And wasn't nothing special about him. Wasn't nothing crazy happening about him. See, we think that God is some, you know what, we feel that way sometimes. You're like, man, I'm son of Doris, man. I ain't no good. All right. But see, God can move in your life if we allow him to. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to get this. So let's go to verse 4. It says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. How many times have we overcomplicated something instead of acting? We overanalyze situations. In verse 4, it says, he went. See, a lot of times we don't make that move. We start to think about all the things that we got going on, about all the reasons why we can't do what God wants us to do. But Abraham went. See, he moved. Sometimes we got to do that. God is looking for people who's going to move where they're going instead of where they're at.
Right.
See, we got to make decisions based on that. And sometimes these decisions are unreasonable. I made some unreasonable decisions in my life and moving forward. Let me tell you a story about the first house I flipped. The first house I flipped, now I don't even talk about my family, about business, but I'm bringing it in here because I think it's applicable. So the first house I flipped, here's a picture of the outside of it. Man, when I tell you, everything was wrong with this house. I had never even seen the inside of the house. I just bought it. I'm like, hey, man, it's time to get in. Because I'm like, look, hey, whatever problem I'm going to have to deal with, I'm going to eventually have to deal with it anyway, so I might as well deal with it now.
Come on.
I'm like, I might as well just jump in. It's a picture of the living room and all this other kind of stuff. What I did was unreasonable. It was not a reasonable thing I did, because most people would say, hey, start off a little bit slower, you know, get something that needs a little bit of fixing up. And mind you, I don't know how to fix anything up, by the way. So, but I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to flip this house and whatever. And people are like, you know, a buddy of mine said, hey, look, man, won't you just start with something a little bit different? I'm like, man, I ain't been in the house. I ain't even seen it, I bought it. I'm like, come on, let's do it. You know, and I was a little naive at the point, and I wasn't expecting it to be as hard as it was, but I made a decision based on where I was going. I was like, eventually, I'm going to have to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
See, eventually, you're going to have to deal with something too, so we might as well make decisions based on where we're going instead of where we're at. Now, the end product turned out good. I was satisfied with where the house went, because it, you know, but it with the journey along the way was tough. It was. See, I opened this house up and I was proud and I was all this other kind of good stuff, but it was unreasonable what I was doing. Sometimes we got to be a little bit unreasonable. Amen?
Amen.
Just because God has a path for us, it doesn't mean we're going to do everything right along the way. Guess what? I didn't do everything right with this house, and neither did Abraham, because I didn't see anywhere where it says God said bring Lot.
Right.
He brought him anyway.
Right.
See, we think we go, you ain't gonna do everything right. You gonna mess up sometimes.
Right.
Man, if it required us to do everything right, would none of us be in here?
Amen.
Right. Flat out. So we gotta stop worrying about making the mistakes and all other things that can happen. Sometimes we gotta set out on our journey. And guess what? You're going to make a decision sometime that maybe you shouldn't do, because it didn't say bring Lot, he paid for that later on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you start talking about this morning, I'm like, man, get out of there, man. In Sunday school, we bring this up. I'm like, get out of there. Man. You know, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I said this, I brought this verse in. We're going to stay in Genesis 12. I brought this for you to understand something. Transformation begins in our spirit, not our behavior.
All right, man.
I'm going to say that again one more time. Transformation begins in our spirit.
I got cut off. Okay. Maybe God said, shut up.
Transformation begins in our spirit, not our behavior. I was at Sunday school last week. Reverend Gilmer was saying, God uses imperfect people. I like that. Man, I'm a candidate, man. God uses imperfect people. See, it's important because past behavior starts us on a path to unworthiness. Let me give you an example before we go on. I was listening to sports radio. About a month ago. And they were talking about some of the athletes. One of the athletes had sent some text messages he wasn't supposed to send. And one of the people were saying, man, think about, would you rather? And they were talking about this on sports radio. He says, would you rather have every text message that you've ever sent be shown to the world or every Google search you've made? And I said, oh, boy, that's a bad boy right there. Google it is, right? But my point is, it's things like that that make you start, that past, that makes you start to say, oh man, I don't know if I'm worthy of what God can do for me. Yeah. Like, everybody's messed up, but see, when you start thinking about some of those past text messages or maybe that Google search you did in private browsing that you thought you was cool on, wow. You know, we start to think about those things that happen and we start to feel unworthy. We start to not understand if God can use us. See, things happen and it makes us question everything about us because we've done some dirt in the past. Man, I guarantee you Abraham did something wrong in the past. He did something wrong on the journey, but God blessed him anyway. See, huge mistakes doesn't mean God cannot use you because transformation doesn't start in your behavior. It does not. It starts in the spirit. That's, you know, you hear that verse, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformation is in the spirit. That transformation is not in your behavior. You are worthy to do something great in God. You can do something awesome in God. And you got to understand, yeah, you went to church and you said, I'm giving my life to you, whatever. And then you go out, maybe you did something, the same thing that you've been doing. Because transformation doesn't start in your behavior. So we got to remember that and stop giving ourselves these reasons not to move forward in God. See, we can still make a decision based on where we're going and not where we are. Somebody say amen this morning if you know what I'm talking about. Now, I like this part. In verse 7, it says, it would be in Genesis 12, it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. See, the first time in the Bible that's mentioned that the Lord appears to somebody is right here. That's the first time. See, he sat out on this journey. He didn't know where he was going. God didn't tell him the destination. He just told him he was going to do something great. And see, he had to build an altar to the Lord so God could appear unto him. Because when you're on a journey, he probably needed to hear from God bad. See, he in a land where there's enemies around. See, he done went to a land where there's enemies. See, sometimes your journey takes you to where enemies are. And you don't understand your journey all the time. And So Abraham said he had to build an altar to the Lord because he needed to make sure that he heard from God. See, that relationship's important. Right. And we got to do that sometimes. In this moment, can you make a decision in your life based on where you're going? Or are you too worried about all the things you got going on now? All the people, all the whatever, all the circumstance. Everybody got problems at home and at work and in your body and all this kind of stuff. But can you make a decision based on where you're going? You know, sometimes it's like this. Right? Like I'm going to show you an example, and I don't know how this is going to go over, but hopefully it's just fine. I'm going to knock a popular song. I want you to see if you can guess what song this is. I used to do this at work, prove a point. I'll do it here. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm second guessing myself now, as you can see the like light bulb going on. But I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm gonna knock on this thing a song. Now I want to see if you can guess the song. You guys ready? All right, let's see. Anybody ready? All right, cool. We're good. All right, let's see. Let's see. No, that's the...
Thank you.
Anybody know? Is it a church song? See, I knew exactly what I was tapping. It sounded good. I mean, I don't know how you can't get it. If you want to see some people get mad, I used to do this at work. People like just leave the room. I can't believe you didn't get that, man. Like, come on. That was happy birthday. See, in my head, I had it going on. Now, I say that because sometimes it feels like God is knocking and we listen and we're like, God, what is going on? I don't know what this guy, what you want me to do? What? You want me to go and you want me to do what? And sometimes we don't understand because it feels like we just listen to them like, God, okay, we know you know the song. You got the beat. I don't know. Be more plain. How many says, God, just be real clear for me. God, if it's you, you know, send something to let me know. Send something, let me know it's you. But instead, God knocking, and it sounds like Morse code us sometimes. But we have to move forward. We have to listen. But we, you know what? Sometimes we got to make decisions based on where we're going instead of where we're at, though. See, instead we sit here and we hear this knocking and we confused and we like, man, you better start whistling something to that thing and putting some music to it. Now, we're going to go to verse 8. And it says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hay on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And then in verse 9 it says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. See, still, he's not sure where he's going. He don't know where he's going at. He still was headed south. See, he's still working on a relationship, so he started running towards God. Now, you know the crazy thing about verse 8 is that he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. It didn't say nothing about the Lord answering him.
Yeah,
right. It didn't say nothing about the Lord saying, hey, my good son. See, the Lord did his work in verse 7. He appeared. And in verse 8, he's like, I'm going to do this altar thing again. I'm going to do this thing again so I can hear from you guys. Because this journey is getting hectic. Right. This is getting hectic. Because he was marching towards more enemies. So he's like, Lord, hold on. Hey, it's you, right? You with me. And guess what? It don't say nothing about God saying nothing back. See, you don't fully know where you're going all the time. And it's easy to think about the now. It's like, God, you got me marching towards enemies, and you want me to think that I'm going to be a father of many nations? I can't even have no kids, and you got me going into the enemy's camp to make sure I don't have none. See, I like this journey in verse 9. It says Abraham journey. See, that journey is moving his tent to another place. See, we done kept our tent in absolutely the wrong places because we're scared about making a decision. But if you make a decision based on where you're going and not where you're at, it's easy because where you're at will make you leave your tent right where it is. And it says he's going on steel towards the stuff. I love how that steel is there because he's like, man, all right. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm still going south. I'm still moving. I'm still doing what you want me to do, Lord. See, we do what we want. We do something God tells us to do, and then we remind him, God, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. Hey, Lord, I prayed 3 days in a row. I told you I was going to get my prayer life together. Listen, but we got to make decisions based on where we're going. But guess what? Some people don't do that. They leave their tent right where it is. Say, Lord, when you move, when you part the sky and you have the sky turn red, and this is my favorite one. Man, you know what, God? You know I'm not perfect and I'm weak sometimes, Lord. So, you know, but I did what I was supposed to do in that one situation. Now, give me some little credit now. You know, give me a little credit. I did what I was supposed to do. So, that's progress. Lord, you said transformation don't begin in behavior. It don't start with behavior. It starts in the spirit. Lord, you know my heart. That's my favorite. You know my heart, God. The Lord know me. Now, I want you to think about the journey Abraham's on. And let's read verse 10. It says, And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So not only do you not where you know where you're going, God's sending you to a land and there's famine everywhere. Man, I know ain't nobody ever been through nothing. Think about how easy it is to be like, man, God, this ain't no journey you sending me on. You're sending me to enemies, and now you want to tell me that there's famine in the land? So I don't know how I'm going to eat. I ain't had that problem back with my kinfolks. See, I was good there. I didn't ask God to be a father of many nations. Now you send me on this journey. You know, somebody get a new job at God. I asked you for this job, and all of a sudden I'm dealing with this stuff that I'm dealing with on this job. You know, these people crazy, and this, that, and the other. See, this is where bad cycles in our life starts. This is where vices start. See, this is where addiction start times like this. This is where addiction, see, this is where things start to take root in us because we don't understand them. Because we like, God, if you love me and I'm your guy or girl, why am I going through this? Why is there a famine in the land? See, some of you been through a famine in the land, and guess what? All of a sudden, you're like, man, I don't know if I can deal with this anymore. But guess what? Somebody used to do to help me cope with this looking real good right now. And maybe it's picking up the phone, maybe it's a substance, maybe whatever it is going on right now. But guess what? Sometimes there's going to be famine in the land. That's part of the journey. You know, my aunt worked for a company. She worked there for like 33 years. It's a long time. She was only like 52 or something. So we've been working there since she was like 18. Worked there 33 years, man. Had it going on. She had a house in Detroit. She had it and she paid it off. And she said, you know what? I'm going to get me a new house. So she bought a new house. And man, about a month later, she got laid off from her job. They eliminated her position. Now see, my aunt loved God. She in church every week. In fact, her church is what a lot of my family started going to. So she'd be like, oh, come to my church or whatever. And they started going to her church. She loved God and all this stuff. She's a minister at her church. And then there was a famine in the land. See, you can say, man, I was good where I was at. I didn't ask, look, I got this house, and it's cool, but the other one was paid off. I was good. Now I lose my job. See, sometimes along the way, the journey takes us to places we don't understand. Right, but we got to make decisions based on where we're going and not where we're at. See, we can't be worried about the fact that you might lose your job. We can't be worried about the fact that you're going through something, because sometimes there'll be a famine in the land. We got to believe that God can do everything we say he can do at times. Did we say he can do everything, but do we really act like he can do everything?
All right, now.
You know? Sometimes there's a famine in the land, and we got to move forward. And then verse 11, it says, and it came to pass, when he was come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. First off, man, I don't know how he got away with that. The next verse should have been like, and he got slapped or something. He said, now behold, now I've been with you. I've been married to you, but behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. But that's not the point, so let me skip past that. Sorry. Verse 12, it says, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Right? That's verse 12. Let's go on to verse 13. I'm going to read through 14. It says, say, I pray thee, this is Abraham telling her, thou art my sister. I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well for me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass, when Abraham was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. I mean, she was good looking. See, Abraham's logic took over in the situation. See, he didn't take some high moral ground. God, I leave everything to you. If it be your will, have them slay me. He's like, no, look, woman, let's get our story together. Let's get our story together right now. You, my sister. We ain't like that. I want you to. But see, our logic takes over when we got trouble, too. That's what happened. We don't get this high moral, oh, God, I will not ever tell a lie in front of thee. We like, hold on. What story are we telling? Okay. We got to make sure we on the same page, because if they start asking questions, you know, we need to be good. They probably got this story real good together. See, the last time he called up on God, God didn't answer. So he like, I got to do this, man. God, see, he didn't say he called up on the Lord again. He like, okay, God, you know my heart. You know that I tried to call upon you and you don't want to say nothing. So, hey, I got to do what I got to do. You know what I mean? So he go ahead and handle his business this way. See, I'm not sure what his plan was besides sparing his own life. See, sometimes we find ourselves in a predicament. And we calling up on God, we want him to do something, he moved fast enough for us, and we still like, look, God, I'm moving in a direction you want me to move. I can't do that dead, so guess what? I got to make sure I stay alive. So I'm doing this for you in your glory. Lord, I love you. Now, I want you to, now we're almost done, and I want you to watch what God does. I want you to watch what he does. It says in verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. They're like, man, she was good, right? And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. I mean, he let this woman go in the crib. Like, go ahead, man. You know, die with the lie, right? In verse 16, it says, and he had treated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and donkeys, and men service, and maid services, and more donkeys and camels. And verse 17 says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did you not tell me that that was your wife? Why didst thou say she was your sister, so I might have taken her to me? Taking her to me to wife, and now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Pharaoh like, get up out of here. Right. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all they had. Now watch this. We're going into just the first verse of the next chapter, right? And it says, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, Abraham went up and out of Egypt, he and his wife and all they had, and Lot went with him. Of course, Lot was going, even though he had no business being there in the first place, into the south, right? And get this. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hay. See, God blesses us anyway. See, God, even though Abraham was lying and trying to save his own hide, God blesses us anyway because he's moving in the direction where he's going and not where he's at. See, you have to realize you are not like everyone else. You are a child of God. That's got to mean something to you. That's got to mean something to you. God will bless you in spite of. See, he blessed him and he was very rich in cattle, it says. And guess what? There was famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. How he got this going on now? See, he went in with nothing. He went in worried about his situation. And God brought him out better than he had been. See, the economy might be failing you. You might be having hard times. You might be in a bad relationship. You might have to make some tough decisions. Guess what? Maybe you made some decisions that are questionable. Maybe you didn't raise your hand up and say, God, if it be thy will, blah, blah. Maybe you didn't do that. Maybe you made a tough decision, but God can bless you anyway. Yeah. See, we have to move forward.
See, we got to make decisions from God's
perspective. See, guess what? You know the crazy part about this verse 3? Is that he ended up right back where he started at. Yep. Now, a lot of times we end right back where we started, but we ain't got no cattle or nothing. We back in the same old spot because of our decision making. Because we made decisions based on where we are instead of where we're going. Amen? God is looking for people to be able to stand up on his word and say, God, you know what? This journey is going to be a little bit tough, but I'm going to move anyway. I know things aren't going how I want them to go, Lord, but I'm going to move anyway. I'm going to make decisions based on where I'm going instead of where I'm at, Lord, because I know it don't look good right now. Guess what? I got the doctor told me something about my health that don't sound good. But guess what? I'm making a decision based on where I'm going. Guess what? I'm not about to curl up and die. I'm about to move because I am a child of God. See, I'm about to do something. See, your walk might look a little bit funny in the natural and spiritual, but you got to keep moving forward. Because there's healing for. There's deliverance for. But if you set your tent where it's at and don't move, you're going to be in the same spot where you at. Even though there's famine in the land, you're going to be worse off. Guess what? But God, I know God can do it in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's give him some praise. Yes. Let's give him some praise today. It's time for us to be a little bit unreasonable. We got to be like Abraham and move and be a little bit unreasonable in God. You know what? We got to let him do something crazy for us. Amen. But we got to keep moving forward. See, it's time that we start to move forward on this journey. It's time for us to do what we got to do. Guess what? I don't care what you've done. Guess what? You might not want all your text messages posted and all your Google searches posted. That don't make you a bad person. And it doesn't mean that God can't move you. He moved Abraham. And if you keep reading that Abraham went on and all, went on to great things. But he started off as, man, he was some guy's son, man. That's it. It wasn't the chosen vessel of the Most High from birth, raised up, fed, you know, only to find his beef in order to fulfill his destiny. It was, you know what, man, it was a dude's son. And guess what? I'm going to make thee a great nation. See, God is ready to make you a great nation if you believe him this morning. He's ready to make you a great nation if you will believe him this morning. See, it might be hard to feel like a great nation, but I want you to think about how hard it was for Abraham. His wife was barren. Nothing looked like he was going to be a great nation. Nothing looked like it. But God did it anyway. He didn't make all the right decisions along the way, but God did it anyway. I'm going to ask that you stand with me today, and that we just turn everything over to God. We're going to turn everything over to God this morning. I just want you to get your mind right this morning. No matter what you got going on, I want you to get your mind focused on God right now. I want you to just think about the journey, Lord, as every eye is closed, Lord. I want you to think about the journey that maybe you set out. Maybe your tent's still in the same place. It's time to pack it up this morning, amen? It's time to move this morning and make decisions based on where we're going instead of where we're at. See, in this church, we don't need monitors on the wall, but this is not a decision based on where we're at. It's a decision based on where we're going.
Amen.
We got to move like that. Because every eye is closed and every mind is on God this morning. It's time for us to be real with God this morning. You know what? Maybe the journey has been a little bit bumpy, and maybe you haven't done everything you're supposed to do. But if you're ready to move forward and make decisions based on where you're going and not where you're at, maybe you haven't done it perfect all the time, I'm going to ask you to take a leap of faith, and I'm going to ask you to come on down and stand across the front here this morning. Now, if this not you, and you're like, hey, you know what, but I'm going to pray and stand together for other people, you can just take your seat there. You can take your seat. But if you want to start to move differently, you know we need to make some different decisions. I'm going to ask that you stand across the front this morning. See, we got to move sometimes. It requires something of us. It'd be easy to sit in your seat, and it's easy to justify. It's easy to say, oh, God, you know what, I messed up before, but I'm good, whatever. But it's time for us. As every heart minds on God this morning, I'm sitting here praying and asking God what he wants me to do this morning, how he wants me to move, because it's about him. It's about him getting all the glory. It's about him getting all the clarity, all the glory, all the honor. I know he can do it. I'm going to come pray for you individually this morning. I'm just going to touch and agree with you. Because we're on a journey together. We're on a journey together. Our journeys often overlap. And sometimes our walk is different for somebody else, and it helps somebody else in their movement, in their journey, Lord. So I'm going to pray for you and those of you that are out there in your seats. I'm going to ask that you pray for those that are down front here, that you just believe God to be able to move in their lives. Amen. Thank you.